While their power is greatly enhanced in this election, Tom, they have veto-proof majorities in both the House and the Senate, and that will allow them to then move their agendas forward much more strongly.
So how is this going to play out in terms of the state's economic policies then?
Well, I think that there'll be a substantial rollback of many regulations. There may be dismantling of entire departments. That's what the governor-elect has indicated. And there will be a substantial a freeze on any new taxes or fees, and a governor wants to roll back property taxes by 19%. So those are substantial differences, Tom.
Now, before the election, Florida voters told poll after poll, they said that jobs is the number one issue for them, employment the number one issue. Now, Mr. Scott says that he'll generate 700,000 jobs in 7 years. It's a catchy campaign slogan, but will it really work? Can he put it into practice? How do you suppose he intends to bring that about, Hank?
Well, it's going to be very difficult. Saying it doesn't make it so, Tom. His program to reduce regulation, cut taxes, and shrink the size of government is supposed to then stimulate all this job growth. I have trouble seeing that as an economist. I think in an environment of very constrained resources, reductions in and changes in regulation are probably the strongest way the legislature can affect and the governor can affect the economy in the short run.
Well, now, Hank, on many occasions you have said that you predict an economic recovery in Florida in much fewer than 7 years. So by your predictions, we would have that many jobs anyway in 7 years.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have them anyway. That's exactly the point. To add an additional 700,000 jobs over and above what the economy is going to get in any event is a big job.
Okay, well, let's look at some of the constitutional amendments that were on the ballot. Some were more controversial than others, particularly Amendment 4, the so-called Hometown Democracy Amendment, would have required voter approval for major new developments, anything that required a change to the local comprehensive land use plan. Voters said no to that proposal by a significant margin. How will that decision affect our economy, Hank?
Well, that's a good thing. It's a damage that we avoided doing to ourselves, Tom. It was a very poorly thought through proposal. It would have been expensive and cumbersome, and it really would have sent a big message that Florida's not open for business, which we don't need right now.
Now, the proponents of that amendment said that irresponsible growth, which often had been rubber stamped by local governments, was among the contributors to our current economic crisis. In many cases over the years, communities have been left with empty homes and abandoned strip malls. And if not Amendment 4, and if we're going to be cutting back on state regulatory agencies, then what can be done in the future to rein in that kind of irresponsible growth?
Well, I think we're past the era of the robber barons in the state. That's been over a long time ago. It is clear to me that our growth management policies, as much as we might like them, have failed us. They're not producing managed growth, and it's not because there's not enough regulation. It's very difficult to get land use plans changed. Local governments are not rubber stamping, in my experience, over the last 20 years in Florida, so I don't think that's true at all. The experience with similar times of referenda requirements in St. Pete Beach has been a disastrous failure. It's just led to unending litigation and expense, and that's what would have happened if Proposition for it passed. I do think there's scope for improving the regulatory structure in our growth management to provide for a more streamlined regulatory process, a more transparent process, and a process that would, in fact, allow us and require us to invest in the infrastructure. That's been the piece that failed. Nobody wants to pay for anything, and we can't just regulate our way out of our growth management issues. And finally, we don't have much growth to manage. So, you know, Florida's subject to boom and bust cycles, Tom, and it's always going to be thus. And to suggest that Proposition 4 or some government intervention is going to prevent boom and bust cycles in Florida is on its face unsupportable.
Well, let's move on to another amendment, Amendment 8, which was also voted down last Tuesday. That's the amendment that would have relaxed the strict class size limits for public schools. Voters said, no, we want to keep the caps in place as they are now, and schools are now trying to implement those new limits. The schools, of course, are already in deep financial distress. What will this mean to the broader economy?
Well, it's significant. I think people do want smaller class size and improved education. The problem budgetarily this year is going to be there's a $3 billion budget gap. The state's economy is getting a little better, but the federal money has gone away. and we face a $3 billion budget cap at a time where there's increased demand for education because we're not going to do away with class size. So this is going to put the legislature in a difficult spot, Tom. On the one hand, we have this constitutional requirement for class size, which will cause, therefore, a need for more teachers to be hired to keep class size down. That $3 billion budgetary gap will have to be closed somehow. The legislature has said they don't want to raise any taxes. What I think is going to happen is they are going to raise what's called required local effort, which is a way that the legislature sets, in essence, the property tax for local school boards, and the school boards then have to impose that tax in order to receive funding from the state of Florida.
But I thought local school districts controlled how much they want to levy to support their schools.
They only control a very small amount. They control about 2 mills worth. The other 5 to 6 mills is imposed upon them by the legislature. The legislature sets the amount that's going to be spent per student and then requires each local school board to generate that amount of money that is their share. And it's called required local effort. And most people don't understand it's the legislature that controls the vast majority of school taxes in this state.